I'd like to read two sections from the Bible. The first is in the book of Acts and chapter 27 on page 1343. In many ways I'd need to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. I'll just pick out some little sections from it. We start at the beginning of chapter 27 on page 1343. When it had been determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered up Paul and certain other prisoners to a centurion by name Julius of Augustus' company, and going on board a ship of Adramycia. And then over the page, they're on board a ship. Verse 13, they've actually changed boats by now, but verse 13, south wind blowing gently, supposing that they had gained their objective, having weighed anchor, they sailed close inshore along Crete. But not long after, there came down it a hurricane called Euroclydon, and the ship being caught and driven and not able to bring her head to the wind, letting her go, we were driven before it. Running under the lee of a certain island called Claudia, we were with difficulty able to make ourselves masters of the ship, which having hoisted up, they used helps, frapping the ship, and fearing lest they should run into Syrtis and run aground. And having lowered the gear, they were so driven. But the storm being extremely violent on us, on the next day they threw cargo overboard, and on the third day, with their own hands, they cast away the ship's furniture, and neither sun nor star appear for many days, and no small storm lying on us. All hope of our being saved was taken away. And when they had been a long while without taking food, Paul then, standing up in the midst of them, said, "Ye ought, O men, to have hearkened to me, and not to have made sail from Crete, and have gained this disaster and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good courage, for there shall be no loss at all of life of any of you, only of the ship. For an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted to thee all those that sail with thee. Wherefore be of good courage, men. For I believe God that thus it shall be, as it has been said to me." Later in the chapter, verse 39, "And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they perceived a certain bay, having a strand, on which they were minded, if they should be able to run the ship ashore, and having cast off all the anchors, they left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the lashings of the rudder and hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the strand, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow having stuck itself fast, remained unmoved, but the stern was broken by the force of the waves. And the counsel of the soldiers was that they should kill the prisoners, lest anyone should swim off and escape. But the centurion, desirous of saving Paul, hindered them of their purpose and commanded those who were able to swim, casting them first into the sea, to get out on land. And the rest, some on boards, some of the things that came from the ship. Thus it came to pass that all got safe to land. And when we got safe to land, we then knew that the island was called Melita, or Malta, as we know it. Then the next scripture I wanted to read is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and verse 18 on page 1452. Reading from the middle of the verse, "We might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and entering into that within the veil where Jesus is, entered as forerunner for us. I think we all know that we're living in very uncertain times. And we have probably acknowledged too that in the last few weeks things have got even more uncertain. Difficult times. And the question for each of us is whether we've got something firm and established in our life. Something that will see us through. Both of the scriptures we've referred to speak about anchors. I don't know whether the children know what an anchor is, whether they could draw an anchor. An anchor is something that a ship has on board. It's no use at all while it's on board. It comes in very, very useful when they need to moor somewhere. And they've got an anchor which they can throw overboard and it holds the boat in a particular position. The anchors that we see in chapter 27 of Acts didn't seem to be very much use to them. They threw out four anchors and then the sailors wanted to put out even more. They wanted to put some out from the front of the boat as well as the four that were at the back of the boat. I want to ask you, have you got an anchor? And where is your anchor? My anchor is that I have faith in Christ. The rope attached to that anchor has not broken. Through life it's held firm. Maybe I've felt at times the anchor dragged a little, but the anchor is there. I know it's in my faith in Christ, the one who died for me. I'm a sinner. I would suggest that we all are. I'm a forgiven sinner. I can say that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from my sins. He died at Calvary, that awful death. You know about what Jesus did when he died there, that awful trial when he was put there by Roman soldiers. Someone actually had to bang a nail through his hands and his feet onto a wooden cross. This was all after they'd mocked him. Think of him wearing a crown of thorns. One of the Gospels tells us that they wound a crown of thorns about his head. You think about that. How easily thorns scratch you. And how painful it can be. And they actually wound a crown of thorns about the head of my Saviour. They spit at him. There's no worse thing, awful thing to do to someone than to spit at them. And yet they did that of my Saviour. They smacked him. They smacked his face. All sorts of things they did, and then, as I said, they crucified him. And he went through that awful agony. The hours on the cross, those hours of suffering, when he was hanging there before he died, 3 hours of darkness, when he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. I think of that, what was compressed into those 3 hours, because it wasn't just my sins that Jesus bore then, it was the sins of everyone who believes on Jesus. And it's not just the things I've done, it's the things that I will do. I know that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from every sin. And I can rejoice in that. I can know that my future is absolutely sure. That Jesus will come, if he doesn't take me to be with himself through death, I know he'll take me to be with himself in that marvellous day when he comes to take every one of his church to be with himself. So I've got a hope. I've got a hope that goes far beyond things here. A hope that's based not what I think or what some clever scientist has dreamed up or the theories of other men. It's based on what God says in his word. That's why the preaching is so important. That's why we want each one to listen, because God uses this, even a little time like this, to speak to people about things that really matter, about things that relate to time, eternity. We heard the other day about a man in Northern Ireland, a prosperous farmer, age 73, buying up all the land all around him. Bigger, better, this, that and the other. And all of a sudden, God said, right, that's enough. And so he died and was buried. What use is it all? Scripture tells us, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Think about that. Some of these things are so glib, they're so easy just to pass by and say, yes, 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 I've heard that many, many times. But maybe God wants us to speak, wants me to think about it a bit more, because God is addressing himself to each one in the preaching, and the one that speaks as much as everyone else. Well, this is an interesting story, a graphic description of a journey that was made at the wrong time of year. It was far too late to be sailing a little tiny boat, though it can't have been that little if he had 276 people on board across the Mediterranean. They took all the measures they knew to strengthen the ship, even wrapping ropes round the hull of the ship. Frapping the boat helps, frapping the ship, and fearing lest they should run into Syrtis and run aground. These were quicksands or rocky patches or something. And the storm being extremely violent on us. So for days and days and days they sailed in a storm like that. And Luke records in verse 20 that all hope of our being saved was taken away. Things were pretty hopeless. The boat was battered by the storm. They'd lost control over the sails and so on. And yet, Paul says, this message, ye ought, O men, to have hearkened to me and not to have made sail from Crete. I'm sure there were some things that the sailors said when Paul said that. They wouldn't welcome the advice of a landlubber. But he said, as well as the warning of what they'd done wrong, he had a hope that he could set before them. I exhort you to be of good courage. There shall be no loss at all of life or of any of you, only of the ship. For an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood by me this night, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted to thee all those that sail with thee. He had a message of hope, and that's what I'd like to give to everyone here, is a message of hope. In a dark, dark day, that God is presenting a message of hope to whosoever will. That includes me, and that includes you, if you are prepared to take advantage of the anchor and where it currently is. My anchor is in the presence of Jesus, as we'll see in that Hebrew scripture. And so they don't immediately get out of the difficulty. They sail on. Sailors wanting to take a boat, a little skiff or little boat away from, and pretending they were going to put out extra anchors. And Paul said, no, don't do that. The soldiers cut the ropes of that little boat and just let it fly off. So the only hope, you might say, the lifeboat on this boat, which could have only taken a few people, was no longer any help at all. And 276 people on board. And the night gradually, this awful night gradually ends, and the light comes up slowly. And they don't recognize even where they are. Sailors who had sailed the Mediterranean for years, they didn't know where they were. None of these modern navigation devices, they wouldn't have even decent marine charts. When it's day, they did not recognize the land, but they perceived a certain bay having a strand on which they were minded if they should be able to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors, they undid the rudder, they put a small sail up, and they headed for the shore, just to ram the ship into the shore as hard as they could. And the scripture says, and falling into a place where two ships, they ran the ship aground, and the prow having stuck fast, and the stern was broken by the force of the winds. But the point I want to make, draw your attention to, is they all got safe to land. They didn't get there in luxury. They didn't go there a first class. They went in the sea. Some swam. Some had to cling to bits of ship, the wreckage of the ship, but they all got safe to land. And dear friend, our message in the gospel is the same. We want everyone to get safe to land. The land is the end of our pathways when we're with Christ. What a moment that will be when everyone is with Christ, the whole church united and with its Saviour. We think of that moment with joy as we think of the days of suffering, the days of difficulty, the days of earth all gone. Different priorities then, everything different will be with Jesus. And when they got safe to land, they knew that the island was Malta. I refer just to this other reference to an anchor. This is an anchor that is thoroughly reliable in Hebrews. We have an anchor secure and firm. Where is it? It's within the veil. And that just means it's where Jesus is. Just where Jesus is. You think of that, having your anchor there, that you've got a link there with the one who died for you, your Saviour and my Saviour, a link with him there in heaven. You've left everything down here and we're with Christ. What a time that will be. Everything left behind here and with our blessed Saviour. Well, that will be a day when we've know what it is, the value of putting our trust in Jesus. But today is the opportunity for you to decide, that you make your decision to turn to Christ. He's pleading with you to accept him as your own personal Saviour, the one who died for you, the one who suffered for you, those sufferings that you and I just can't understand.